Well, that flash of fire is going to burn millions of tares. Just like wax candles, millions of tares will burn at the judgment day. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh's Covenant people, Pastors James and Howard. And we're going to be doing part three of the ADL Lies About Christian Identity. And we're going to pick it up. Let's see. Are you in the chat, brother?
I am. I'm putting a little racist message right now.
Yeah, okay. Can you put the link for this article in the chat room? Because I don't have it on my main computer. I've got it on my laptop, and so I can't really copy and paste from one computer to the other.
I will attempt to do that. Yes, I think I can up to that.
So while you're doing that, I'll start reading. And if people want to read along, and they want to open up this article, we're reading right where the graphic, the yellow graphic that has the hook-nosed Jew head on the snake and the Star of David rattle, seed line, okay? With all the Stars of David markings on the snake's body. So we're going to be reading the paragraph right above that graphic, which it looks just like a Jew to me.
Right? Oh, yeah.
When I think of Jew, yeah, when I think of a Jew, that's what it looks like to me. But I'll start reading here, that paragraph just above the graphic. The most extreme expression of identity anti-Semitism, anti-Jewism, because they're not Semites, is the so-called two-seed or seedliner theory developed by Swift, his associates, and his disciples in the 1960s. According to the two-seed theory, the seduction of Eve by the serpent in Eden was sexual. That's very good. That's accurate.
It is accurate.
Yeah, it is accurate, but Judeo-Christian would be shocked to hear this, right? Right? They still like to do sensationalist stuff, but then they go around calling us violent, which is a lie. Cain was the product of their liaison, and Cain, in turn, was the father of the Jewish people. Hooray! That's true! That's all right! That's very
accurate.
That's true.
That's the very derivation of the Jewish popular name, Cohen.
Yeah,
and,
right?
You know, quite a few times you see Jews with the last name of Cain. They spell it in various ways, you know, with a K, with
Coon.
A C. But they are from the descent. They are the descendants of Cain. They are
That's
the descendants
right.
of fallen right. angels.
Now, this is not a theory. It says so right in Matthew chapter 23.
Brother, it says it everywhere.
Yeah, right?
It's all through the Bible. In the 66-book Bible, it's somewhat hidden in plain sight, probably by perverting the various translations, the King James perhaps the most guilty. But as we've documented through our various studies of the other apocryphal books, and by the way, I'm just throwing this out there. I think we have to get back into the Apocalypse of Baruch. Brother Steve and I had a great conversation the other day on that book, and I highly encouraged him to grab that book. There's free copies online, and that book gives the revelation of the not just the seduction of Eve along with Enoch, but that book lays out the racial war and what's going on right now so clear. It's just amazing, and we have to get back into that.
Sure.
And I could even see you, me, and Pastor Steve doing that show if he'd be interested to do that, if he grabs a hold of that book and sees what we see, and I know he will. Do you remember how many weeks we spent on the incredible revelation to Baruch of the 12 bright waters and dark waters across the ages? Mm-hmm. And we easily identified that the waters were speaking of races. The dark waters equaled the dark races. The bright waters equaled the white race, and the conflict between those two across the ages, and how at the end of the age it would come to this climactic, devastating worldwide event ending. And it was profound. And I think we got to go over it again. I don't even say we need to do the whole book of Baruch again, but we need to do that particular revelation. And as I remember, you and I did 20 or 30 shows just on those verses. It went on for numerous chapters.
Right.
Very in-depth, so much symbolism. And I don't think you could have interpreted it properly a couple hundred years ago.
Right.
And like most of the Apocrypha, it was written for the people living in the final age. So we see what people that know way more than us 100 years ago, they don't see what we see only because we've lived another 100 years. That's why we see more than they see.
Right, and we know history has come alive in the 20th century.
Yeah, and we're historians. We're not just theologians. We're historians. We've learned from people like Martin Luther and, you know, the amazing
He hated Christian Jews, too.
Yeah, I know he did. I'm going to hang out with that guy someday.
Yeah,
I'm going to have a bottle of wine with Martin Luther.
Yeah,
I'm going to go,
right.
Bro,
yeah, right.
You are my bro.
Moselle.
You know?
Moselle wine. That's the tastiest
I wouldn't
German
have seen
wine.
Half of what you saw, but, you know, in the day, you were the man. I just was lucky enough to live 400 or 500 years later where I saw what you saw and a few things more where people like Comparé and Swift and other identity scholars laid it out. Brother, I don't pretend to be anybody. I just study what other people have learned and go, you know, I kind of see that a little bit.
Yeah. You're doing
Praise
a good job
for those brothers.
You're doing a good job being yourself, Greg. just keep it up.
I do not pretend to have any great revelations. All I do is study what others that have seen more than me have seen. I'm a student, brother. I always have been. And Bertram Comparé, one of these days when I meet that brother in the coming age, I'm going to give him a serious man hug.
Right. Well, we'll do that. We'll go there next. Today's going to be the final episode of the ADL, on Christian identity. And then I want to do all of the Apocrypha all over again, including the Testament of the Patriarchs.
I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah,
I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah, after Baruch, let's do Maccabees because we never did Maccabees on any of our shows in the past.
I don't think we did. We touched on it. We never got into it.
Right, because Maccabees is outstanding history. It proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Judahites were doing everything possible to remain separate from all the invaders, namely the Greeks, the Romans, the Edomites, the Samaritans, etc., etc. It's a record of their racial segregation. Okay? That's what the Book of Maccabees, both 1 and 2 Maccabees, are all about.
Brother, we figured out that's why the Apocrypha was kept out of the 66-book Bible, because it just opened up the concept of the racial truth of theology. And, as a guy that went to Bible school, was an ordained Baptist preacher, and was a pastor of a church, and went through that whole Judeo-Christianity game and never liked it and couldn't quite figure out what the hell was wrong with me. During that time, I thought all the problem was with me. I just didn't realize I was oil trying to be mixed with water. It just wasn't ever going to happen. And I just realized now that the Apocrypha is what breaks open the truth of race. Christianity is not faith in Jesus Christ. It's being born into the proper race, which is clearly the white race, the pure genetic white race, and then faith in Yahshua Christ. That is true Christianity. That's why all the other races mixed in here have got us so, most of our people so mixed up, they don't know what's going on. They think they should be out trying to save these dusky, dark.
They're not saving anybody. They're becoming pagans themselves.
In reality, they are literally inviting rattlesnakes into their living room.
That's right.
By importing these dark races into our white nations. These are the devil's children.
Amen.
Whether they're genetically related to the devil or not, that's an interesting debate. But whatever it is, Yahshua Christ only came to save the white race. We have proven that 1,000 times over. Most people won't believe it, but it's right there in front of them if they want to see it.
That's right. It's covenant theology.
The thief on the cross that was confessing himself next to Yahshua Christ, guess what? That was a white man.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because Yahshua Christ wouldn't have looked over at some, Nigerian Negro going, Jesus, He wouldn't have said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. He would have never said that to anybody other than a white man.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
Couldn't have been a Jew either, because a Jew would never admit he did anything wrong. Right? The Jews never admit
The Jews are destined. The lake of fire was created for this race.
That's why they're going to burn so well, right?
There's not a single Jew that will be in the coming age apart from swimming in the lake of fire. Amen. And we're going to be able to sit back and watch them and just enjoy their suffering.
Crispy critters, as Pastor Steve likes to say.
Crispy critters. I like that.
Right. All right. Like, let's continue here. Yeah, Apocalypse of Baruch first, and then we'll go into First and Second Maccabees. Really outstanding books, really. But here, let's continue here. Therefore, it says, Jews, therefore, are children of the devil, literally demonic. Yes, very good. You know, they're telling the truth about us.
It's funny how they do that once in a while.
Yeah.
Here's what the Christian identity people believe. Yeah, that we are a satanic race.
Yeah.
And we're got that right for once.
Yeah. Well, no mention of the verses of scripture that we quote to prove it, right? So this is just a shock value for someone who has never heard this before. This is really shocking. But, you'd think the newspapers would be full of this because of the sensationalism value, right? But they don't, because they don't want people to think about it. Obviously, the ADL website here is something that they don't promote. But if you happen to go to it, be prepared to be shocked about identity if you've never heard of it. All right, let's continue. The other seed line in the two seed scheme traces from Adam and Eve's other son, Abel. Well, that's not correct. Where's the mistake there? Gee, they were doing so well. Greg, what's the problem here?
I'm shooting back over to that document. I got like 10 web pages open here.
Oh, I see. Here's what they say. The other seed line in the two seed line scheme traces from Adam and Eve's other son, Abel. Does it?
Clearly, Seth was the continuation of the divine holy seed line.
Abel never had any children, right? Cain murdered him.
The murder of Abel was the satanic attempt to destroy Yahweh's, Yahweh's plan to populate
Yahweh's chosen seed line. Yeah,
yeah, and to introduce his domination to the planet. And we'll probably never understand the true rebellion of the fallen angels and the introduction of race mixing on the earth and the true pollution of our seed line and what went on in this age. In the coming age, I believe we'll have the full understanding of it. We'll probably never see it completely here, but we have enough we know enough. We realize there was truly a satanic war. There was a rebellion of the angels, which I still marvel to this day that created angelic beings could rebel against their creator.
Yeah.
But it truly illustrates the concept of free will.
Amen.
They had a free will. They were subverted by one or two, three, who knows how many of the, and if you read the third book of Enoch, which breaks down the concept of the angelic orders and the true authorities that the higher orders had. By the way, the third book of Enoch is one of the most profound books I've ever read. You can only, there's very few written copies. There actually is one. I have one. But there's free copies online. The third book of Enoch, it was translated by Hugo Odeberg in, I want to say, the mid to late 1800s. And they barely found a single manuscript or two. I don't remember which European library they discovered one in. But it breaks down the angelic orders and the various levels of authority of the angels. Very, very profound. It's incredible.
It's not very long, is it?
It's actually a pretty good read. Yeah, it's not a quick read.
No, well, how many pages?
But it's a profound book on angelic. If you want to understand the authority of the various angelic armies and what was going on with the angels, the third book. Enoch himself claimed to have written, I want to say, several hundred books. We have three of them.
Right.
Who knows what else he wrote that the Jewish destroyers of manuscripts have burned.
Right.
They may exist somewhere. Obviously, someday we'll get to see them all.
Yes.
But, we have what we have, and it was meant to be that way, is what I believe. And But my point is this. The angels tried to destroy Yahweh's work on this planet. And they thought they probably did pretty well when the angels seduced Eve, impregnated her, and yet Yahweh, hey, let's face it, he's Yahweh. He knows what's going on.
Right.
He allowed it to happen. Why? I do not understand completely, and I don't know that we ever will.
Well, you know, but, I was thinking about this the other day.
Yeah, jump in, brother, yeah, jump in.
And just suppose that Eve had not been seduced. How many generations of Israelites would it have taken, or Adamites would have taken, before another one of our women got seduced and did the same thing?
I don't know.
Right?
War has been declared.
It would have happened eventually.
Our people, yeah. War right. has been declared against the white race from well before the Garden. The Garden was the first recorded victory of this warfare.
Right.
You know, the pollution of Eve's womb by the serpent was one of the greatest victories that the evil race of fallen angels has ever had. And are we not plagued to this very day because of that event?
It's responsible for 6,000 years of confusion. That's right.
Every time I see on TV, I see Chuck Schumer with his reading glasses down his face. And I see that, I'm subduing my impulse to swear.
Yeah,
I see that Jewish nose, that hooked beak, you know, and him just railing against anything of morality.
That's
and I
right.
think this is the continuation of fallen angel seduction of Eve
Amen.
In the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
And you can multiply Chuck Schumer times millions. There's a million right. Chuck Schumers
and
causing
havoc. It looks just like this yellow snake.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
He does. You know, the Jews actually, this little yellow picture here of the seed line is quite accurate.
Yeah,
I appreciate
right.
them putting that in there.
Right.
You know, if any ADL kikes are monitoring our show, you know, I want to say thank you for at least throwing a little bit of truth
Getting a few things right.
You know?
Right. By the way,
and
Jeff,
someday when I ignite the bundles of you filthy Jews and I get to cast some of you into the lake of fire, I just want to tell you right now, I'm looking forward to that day greatly.
Yeah.
And I want to say the name Yahweh to any Jew listening, because I know the name of Yahweh throws fear into these satanic beings.
Yeah.
It gives them a foretaste of the judgment that is approaching them.
Yeah,
and I hope
right.
they hear the footsteps of the angelic messengers that are going to bind them into bundles. Praise
Amen.
Yahweh.
Amen. Jeff in the chat room wants to know about which Bible has the Apocrypha. My favorite is the Jerusalem Bible. It's got the Apocrypha, and it uses the word race, and it uses the word Yahweh instead of Lord. Okay, so three very good reasons to buy the Jerusalem Bible. It's one volume, one big volume.
Yeah, and I'll just
Bible.
Mention what I do. I purchase my apocryphal books individually.
Okay.
You know, like the book of the Apocalypse of Baruch is a book every single Christian identity believer should have. It's $10. Destiny Publisher cover sells it. Believe me, you want to have a hard copy of these books.
Yeah, and Baruch is not usually in the compilations. Okay.
It is not.
It's
so
not.
Apocalypse of Baruch. You should have.
Yeah.
I prefer to have a hard. I like having a hard copy of books versus reading them online. I have a hard copy of Enoch 1, 2, and 3.
Right. Hey,
I have a hard Jubilees and Jasher. I have hard copies of.
Right.
I ran off a copy of the second book of Ezra, which is a spectacular apocryphal books. I just ran off a copy of that. You can find a clean. Free copy online. The best translation I found was the Revised Standard Version. It's excellent.
Okay.
It's actually quite long, but I printed that out and then put it in my own binder. That's an excellent version of the second book of Ezra.
Okay.
You know,
right,
I don't think there is any Bible that has all of these apocryphal books in them together. I don't think it's out
there.
Not
all of them. Not all of them. No. Brother Abear says, say Obadiah to him. That's a good idea. Whenever you walk past a Jew, just say, Obadiah.
Well, you want to twist a knife
right.
in a Jew?
Right.
Bring up the name. I'll
Obadiah.
Tell you, you say Yahweh to a Jew.
Right? Yahweh
it's like
and Obadiah.
Hot coals down their underwear. They get a
right.
taste of fire coming up. I'm telling you. Anytime you come into the contact
read Obadiah,
find a way to say Yahweh.
Right.
I mean, they're so anti-God, they won't even say, they go G-D, yeah. Which I still don't get. That's how, you know, yeah, they're the chosen race.
Well, they can't accuse you of hate speech. They can't accuse you of hate speech if you just tell them to read Obadiah, right?
Say, do you Jews ever fear meeting the real God, Yahweh? Do you guys ever think about it?
They dread the day. Oh, absolutely would freak
crazy.
Out. Right.
I never miss an opportunity to do that.
All right, let's continue. Let's see what else they get right here. One seed identity adherents do not believe that Jews are physically descended from Satan. That's correct. Though in other respects, they are no less anti-Jewish than the two seedliners. Yeah, and that's about the only difference is the one seedliners can't accept that Eve got seduced by someone other than Adam. Okay. But that's the essence of, you know.
That for a second.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, if we just take an observational look at Jewry, let's just forget history. Let's just say in the last 100 years, what have the Jews been involved in the last 100 years? You know, have they not been literally focused on essentially destroying the white race?
Absolutely,
or at least controlling us and living off us like filthy tapeworm parasites that they are.
That's right, yes.
I mean, I find it so easy to dismiss one seedline theology.
We need
because
to have a tapeworm
with
a Jew face.
How do you explain the hatred of one race for us? It so perfectly fits Genesis 3:15. I find even a simpleton that has an open mind will realize two seedline Christian identity is the true Christianity. I mean, there has to be a race on the earth that Yahweh was addressing in Genesis 3:15. Who was he talking to when he said, you know, when he said to the serpent, I got it open right here. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. Genesis 3:15 is the critical verse to understand the Bible. The rest of the Bible opens up once you realize there were two seed lines born from Eve. There was a satanic seed line. There was the holy seed line of Yahweh. These people would be enemies until the end of the age.
Yes.
And once you understand that simple truth, which, of course, when I went to 4 years of Bible college, they never mentioned. You know, I had to have that shown to me. I don't even know how I found it, to tell you the truth. It just hit me in the head like a hammer.
Right.
But I realize there's an evil race on the planet that seeks our destruction. They have an enmity, a hatred. Brother, if they could push a button and we disappear, they'd push the button.
That's right.
Except
they would.
Keep a few of our cuter women around, I'm sure.
They've been pushing those buttons for eons, actually.
Yeah. But, they hate us. They want to kill us.
Yes.
You know? Look what they did when they had the opportunity to do so. You know, when they took over Russia in the, or, you know, 15, 20, 25, where they had, you know, despotic power to kill at their whim. Look what they did to tens of millions white Christian Russian people. This is what they would do to all of us if they had the power.
Yes, absolutely. So the problem that the one seed liners have is it's a minor one. You know, as long as they understand that the Jews are evil, which most of them do understand that, that's close enough. You know, I can live with that. You know, you don't have to be a hardcore two seed liner to understand, you know, the basics of the Bible, right? They still understand that Jews are our enemies, and you know. But I think one problem is some one seed liners actually believe that Jews can be saved, but
which is insane.
That's absurd. Okay.
Ridiculous.
But Charles Wiseman is not one of them. Charles Wiseman is a one seed liner, and he fully understands that Jews are evil, and he traces their descent from Esau, Edom. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you know, all you have to do is read the cursings against Esau, Edom, and then you know that they can't be saved. So you know, but there are some one seed liners who actually believe that Jews can be saved. Okay. Well, let's continue.
Let me ask you a quick question, brother.
Right.
Do you believe that there's any possibility, and a guy like Brother Nathaniel, as he calls himself, comes to mind, do you believe that a Jew, a genetically born Jew, can be saved, can enter into the covenants that were given to the, you know, the obviously 12 white tribes of Israel?
No. No, can't enter the covenants. No.
That is the correct answer.
Yeah.
I do not.
You were testing me.
Yeah. Not so much a test, just confirming. I think to myself, where in the Bible can you show me a single verse where a Jew, a satanic being, can come to salvation?
No.
It's not possible because I can show you 100 verses that show the total exclusivity of the sacrifice of Yahshua Christ was strictly for the 12 tribes of Israel.
That's right.
Who we've proven to be white and not Jews. No other group is included. And that's the beauty of it. And that's why Judeo-Christianity is the giant false religion on the planet today.
Exactly.
Brother Nathaniel, you know, he might even mean well. Who knows? I actually read his website. Mm. You know, he's one of those Jews that kind of tells the truth about Jews.
That's right. But kind of.
I can't even get myself to call him Brother Nathaniel. I cannot call any Jew my brother.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's an act. It's just he's just using this act to keep stock of, you know, how many people watch this, right? How many Judeo-Christians and secular white people are actually interested in this? You know, and probably it's not too many, right? But I don't take him seriously. And he's Greek Orthodox, which means he's a multiculturalist.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. So nothing really good to come of. Although he does give out true information about the Jews. That, you know, he's a good conspiratologist, put it that way.
Well, he reminds me of that other Jew. Benjamin Friedman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another Jew that has some outstanding messages. Yeah.
Right.
Jeff Powers mentions Bobby Fischer as well. Another good example. You know, once in a while you get a Jew that just blows in as other Jews. Right. Like they have a moment of conscience.
Oh, the guys in the chat room are having fun. Instead of salvation, it's salivation.
I know. I was confirming them.
Jew drool, viper spit, viper spit. That's all that comes out of a Jew's mouth. But
well, you know, that's why, I mean, one of the things I've studied for years is the other races. And I constantly look at the other races and go, what is their origin? Why are they here? Is salvation possible?
What good are they for?
And I appreciate Trump trying to just, you know, if he could push it, if you could, I'll tell you what, if we could give Trump for a month total dictatorial rule, no judges, no courts, no Congress, no Senate, just go, dude, you got 1 month. For 1 month, you're a god on the planet. You whatever you want happens. You do it. I think the guy would do the right thing, and I think he'd rid the nation of dark races. Obviously, he can't do that. He's trying in his own way.
Yeah.
And politics annoys me. I wish it wasn't the way it is. I appreciate what he's trying to do. You know, now we're seeing the years of Jews stacking the legislature with Jews on the, you know, Jewish judges, and we're so corrupt. I don't believe that our problem will ever be solved politically. That's why I'm not into politics in any way. I can't go out and be any kind of Trump fan. I voted for the guy, but I'm not a guy that's going to go out and get involved in politics. I believe the solution to our problem is the return of Yahshua Christ to the earth to set up a true, you know, a theocracy on the planet where the enemies are destroyed and the other races are brought into total subjection and the overcoming whites are put in charge. And I believe that's going to be the solution to our situation. Right. In the meantime, we survive. We do the best we can. Yeah, I hope Trump, you know, makes a little progress. If nothing else, he slowed the demise of a great nation. That's how I view it.
Right.
But we're not going to solve our situation by voting. Until every Jew is erased from this planet, we'll never be right.
That's right.
A handful of Jews could destroy this planet. Brother, look what one Jew, Cain, did.
Right.
Look what Cain did. We could do a series of shows on the damage that Cain did to the planet. To this day, we're plagued by Cain being born through the womb of Eve.
Amen.
We will never be right until every Jew is gone. And I look at, you know, different white websites, Daily Stormer, or other websites. You know, that's a good website. But they don't have a theological basis. They're white nationalists.
Yeah.
And until you understand the concept of what needs to really happen, they think, you know, I was reading a post today, you know, the Jews have been kicked out of 109 countries. You know, the United States needs to be the 110th country.
That's right.
And I wanted to jump on and get all theological on them, but I just didn't. You know, we don't need to be the 110th country. We're not ready to kick the Jews. You know, if they've been kicked out 109 times and they still kind of run the world, what's that tell you?
Yes, yeah.
Well, kicking them out one more time isn't going to do anything.
I think they're going to burn before we can kick them out. So
they need to be destroyed.
Yeah, right.
They need to be gone. They need to be burning in the lake of fire. Then things can actually begin to happen. And that's
Abraham,
what I am waiting for. Not that's why I'm not into politics. I don't want to be the 110th country to kick out the Jews.
There's no place left for them to go. They already control the whole world.
I want to be wrestling with you and Pastor Steve for who gets to light the first bundle of, you know, where Chuck Schumer's leaping around and Ruth Bader Ginsburg and all the kikes that we all know. I want to be like tripping over you and Steve to who gets to fire up that pile.
Right.
Jews.
Well, we can each one of us can light a fuse.
All right. I can live with that. Yeah. Maybe we all light them simultaneously.
Yeah, right. There you go. Brother Abar asks, who were the Arabs before Ishmael? Well, I think the Arabs actually, the Ishmaelites devolved into the Arabs through race mixing because the Ishmaelites were in fact white. And the race mixing actually didn't get started until A.D., sometime in the A.D., and mainly with Islam, because Islam preaches race mixing and slavery, you know. So they captured all these slaves, started having children with them, and, you know, they got slaves from India, from Africa. So that's why the Ishmaelites turned dark. Now they're called Arabs. So
yeah, I mean, what has been the strategy from the Garden of Eden to this day? Has it not been to mix our genetics with races that we have no reason to ever even look at?
Yes.
Yeah. It has been the most successful strategy against our people. And, you know, up until, you know, 100 years ago, race mixing among our people was mostly subdued.
Yeah.
But the Jews, once they got their hands on the advanced concept of media and information control, you know, television, and obviously, you know, television advanced, and then Hollywood and the internet, and, you know, where we are today, the promotion of race mixing has never ceased. It's increased. It's done, you know, the promotion of mixing our genetics with the other races has never ceased. And unfortunately, our women in particular have a stupidity to fall for that Jewish nonsense and lie, and they are so sophisticated at presenting that message to our women. You don't see too many men with black women. Once in a while you see it. It's usually a pathetic-looking male. But our women are particularly prone to listen to that nonsense. I mean, let's face it. The serpent seduced Eve.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't seduce Adam. He seduced Eve. Eve was vulnerable to the message of a satanic being to have sex, to, you know, allow him to seduce her. And our women today are as naive in many ways as Eve was. And they have barely changed the message. If anything, they've only made it more sophisticated,
it's pity.
More mystical.
It's,
you know?
It's pity sex, right? They pity the poor Negro, right?
Well, they almost guilt-tripped them. You know,
right.
They guilt-tripped them.
Guilt sex. There you go. Guilt sex.
If you don't have sex with blacks,
right,
young
then you're
white
evil.
Women,
you're evil.
You're
if you don't
an
have,
evil,
right?
Nazi, racist, bigot girl.
Really?
If you're not willing to date a black, you are the worst. You're a hater. Yeah. And and our women are so, I'm not going to use the word stupid.
They fall
for a satanic message. They're not stupid. Actually, our women are intelligent. But they are. They have a big heart, and they're naive. Right. And just like Eve. Eve, the first white woman on the planet that we are aware of, she was seduced by a beguiling satanic being. Incredible. I marvel when I read that, and I understand what took place. And I don't look down on Eve. I realize our women, our women were created to be ruled and watched over by white men. And the failure is more Adam's than Eve's in many ways. Oh, yeah, and that's why Adam was included in the judgment. He said to Yahweh, the woman that you gave me, she made me do it.
Yeah, she made me do it.
And Yahweh gave Adam no slack whatsoever, and rightfully so. And we were dragged down, and our race has never been the same since.
Right, but our genetics is still the same.
Yeah, yes.
We lost our ability to retain the Holy Spirit, but our genetics hasn't changed, so that's good, right?
Praise Yahweh for that.
Yeah, they actually mentioned this.
As messed up as we are, Yahweh has preserved the purity of white genes, where if you were born to a pure white man and a pure white woman, and the spirit breath of Yahweh was born into you at birth, you are a divine being.
Amen. Amen.
We are a divine race, brother.
They actually address the creation of Adam and Eve here. Many adherents, especially seedliners, also believe in pre-Adamic races. Yes, the other races did not evolve from Adam and Eve. They were already here. That is, they contend that Adam and Eve were not the first people created by God, but were the first created in God's image. No, it's more like begotten of Yahweh.
Yes.
Okay? That's in Genesis chapter 2. Okay? The other races were created, but the Adamites were begotten of Yahweh. Other previous creations, not endowed with a divine likeness, were the forerunners of all the non-white peoples of the earth, which they refer to as, quote, the mud peoples. Now, I'm not aware of any Christian identity theologians who actually have used that term. Certainly Comparé and Swift didn't use it. That's more of a neo-Nazi white nationalist term, okay? So, that is accurate. They're not white, right? Who had soul.
I mean, go ahead. The true Christian identity people that I know, you know, it's not so much that we look down on the other races. We don't call them mud people, sewer races, whatever. But we just realize we have
separate.
Little or nothing to do with them. We are never to intermix with them. They are never to have anything to do with our sons or daughters.
That's right.
They were probably created, in my opinion, to be a servant races to us.
Yeah, dominion.
To do the manual work that needs to be done on this planet. And I personally believe that in the coming age, when the true dominion is restored, the Jews will all be gone. There will not be a single Jew or any bloodline of a Jew left on the planet. Yeah. And these other races, some of them will probably be left, and they will be the ones to do the labor.
Right.
And, you know, the blacks, I mean, you look at the blacks a couple hundred years ago, they were actually a good subservient race. They realized that they were here to work. They're never going to be the equal of the whites. And if they could work all day and be fed and taken care of, they were actually quite content. And it almost, to me, proves that this is the reason that they were here. The problem is the Jews have so subverted the minds of everyone, including these black races, where they've given them this concept of equality, which is total insanity, you know. I mean, brother, we're so messed up right now. The world is like in a blender, and it's just rushing around us so much. Everybody's minds are messed up. You know,
absolutely.
Blacks thinking they're the equal of whites, all these other, you know, dark races thinking they have the right to come to the white nations and just get a free house and have sex with the white women's, you know, we got to feed them and everything. I mean, who has created this insane disaster? It is obviously one group of people have created this mess. Who profits from racial chaos?
Certainly not us. Certainly not us, right?
No. Right. It's to our detriment, you know. This is why we have to get back into the apocalypse of Enoch. or Apocalypse of Baruch. Baruch laid all of this out in his incredible vision of the bright waters and the dark waters and the waters representing races. He saw it all. He laid it out in symbolic language. I'm guessing at the time he didn't understand a fraction of what he was writing, but he laid it out perfectly as it was given to him. And because we are the ones living in the final moments of this age, we actually see it. And Baruch's writings make perfect sense when I read them. I don't even claim any great gift. It just works out if you understand waters equal races and the dark races equal evil, the bright races equal the white race,
right?
And the bright waters triumph at the end, and then the return of Yahshua Christ to set up the kingdom. We have to get back into that vision.
Yes.
I mean, you decide where we go from here, but I'm telling you, brother, that vision of Baruch, we got to get into again.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll do it next
week. Just lays it out.
Yeah.
It lays it out.
Okay, and
by the way, how about where they get into here where the Weiss are saying, ooh, it talks about showing blood. Yeah, let's go there next.
All right. Let me just finish the thought they started here, that they contend that Adam and Eve were not the first people, but we were created by Yahweh and actually begotten by Yahweh. And then it said Adam and Eve and their Israelite descendants were the first whites, correct? A fact proven by the suggestion that the very name Adam means to show blood in the face. They didn't say face or blush, which they Amen. Claim is only possible for whites. And that's true. It is only
there
possible.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever see Negroes blushing? Chinese,
no.
Koreans,
nope.
Mexicans?
Jews?
No.
Nope.
Right. You ever seen a white person get embarrassed? Their face turns red.
Yeah.
Boy, to me, when I see somebody embarrassed and their face turns red, I just want to go up and hug him and go,
yeah, right.
Praise
Make
him Yahweh.
Feel good. Make
You're
him
a divine
feel
being. You're born of the divine race.
Right.
You're a blusher. You show blood in the face.
Yes. Amen.
Praise Yahweh.
Yeah. Another significant aspect of Christian identity theology is its millennialism, the belief that the world is in its final days. Millennialism is widespread among Protestants around the world, but identity diverges sharply from traditional forms of Protestantism. Like many evangelicals, Christian identity adherents believe that Jesus Christ will return to the earth following a period of tribulation. However, identity adherents reject the popular evangelical contention that devoted followers of Jesus will be saved or raptured before the tribulation begins, a concept known as premillennialism. Identity is postmillennial. It holds that Jesus will not return until after the tribulation. That's correct. I don't know of any. Yeah.
Well, when I went to Bible school, they taught that whole, you know, all the quote unquote saved people are going to be raptured out before the tribulation. No, I was a young, stupid guy trying to be a preacher. These guys all had, you know, letters after their name. And I'm like, oh, you know, I just sucked it right up at the time. Brother, I don't even know how I'm here. Yahweh's so merciful.
I should be pastoring
some ridiculous Baptist church of 200 or 300, you know, blind people like me and trying to preach every Sunday. I mean, trying to save Negroes. You know, apart from the mercy of Yahweh, that's where I'd be.
Yeah.
But yet I'm here with you doing a ridiculously killer good Christian identity show and understanding that our race is the divine race on the planet and that Jews are going to be wiped out and that the other races will be subservient to us and that we are probably living in the final days. The rapture is total nonsense.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I just give thanks to Yahweh.
Yeah,
somebody just said, remember Brother Lester Roloff. I actually knew that brother.
Oh, you did? Really?
I met him.
Oh, wow. I've heard the name, but I haven't, not familiar with his story.
He was a Judeo-Christian preacher, but that doesn't tell the story.
Uh-huh. Well,
a very unique brother.
Okay.
Died in a plane wreck.
Oh, wow. Okay. Probably was.
I knew him, not well. I met him a few times.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Interesting that Jeff Powers mentions him.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here, While some Protestants are also postmillennial, identity Christians view the apocalypse as a racial battle, there you go, which helps to create a hothouse atmosphere wherever. Hey, it's getting hot around here, man. It is. Just look outside, folks. It's getting hot, right? Politics is heating up. It's heating up, bro. It's heating up. Okay, because they believe in the imminent collapse of worldly institutions, amen to that.
It's going to happen.
It's happening now. It's falling apart now. Identity adherents tend to devalue and distrust secular institutions in ways that make extreme anti-government, no, not anti-government, anti-Jewish ideologies. We're not anti-government. We believe in constitutional government.
We do.
Christian
Amen.
Government. Okay? That's a slur. Extreme anti-Jewish ideologies, such as those of militia groups, they're not anarchists. Militia is a constitutional institution. It's part of the government. The people. The people are the government, you stinking Jew. Don't you know that? The people are the government.
Well, you know, I'm looking at this quote on the side where it says, Christian identity penetrated most of the major extreme right movements. Thanks to Aryan nations, some neo-Nazis became believers. Klan leaders such as Thomas Robb and Louis Beam adopted the faith, as did, you know, and I mean, you know, here they're trying to just define what it is we believe. They mix in some truth with their own spin on it.
Sure, of course.
You know,
it's always
brother.
Spin.
I'm annoyed that your name is not mentioned in here.
Right.
I can live with me not being mentioned.
Right.
I'm surprised you are not mentioned on here.
Yeah.
Although I know that they did have in there the ER. What was the
EFR?
Yeah. No. Right. No. The something. Church of Israel.
Oh.
EFR.
Okay.
I can't think of the initials.
Anglo-Saxon Israel. Okay.
Yeah, but they mentioned your website.
The website. Oh, yeah. No, the ADL proclaimed Anglo-Saxon Israel as the most racist website in the world. Right?
Tip of the hat to you for that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you. And so I don't know if they named me personally, but they named the website. That's just before they forced my web host to take it down. And so that's why I had to switch from one hosting service to another. So, but,
I still thought our ultimate compliment of my association with you was when the Republic Broadcast Network kicked us off the air because we were getting we were being too rough on the Jews.
Right. Yeah.
To me, that was the best tip of the hat I've ever had for my preaching when I got kicked off of a radio network for telling the truth about Jews.
Right. And I didn't realize it, but people have told me since that our show got more calls, more live calls than any other show, which means a lot of people were listening. So, in other words, so if you're successful, you get canned. All right,
exactly.
Okay, all right. Let's a few more. We've got a few more minutes here. Because they believe in the imminent collapse of worldly institutions, we sure do. They hold themselves to God's laws, not man's laws. That's correct. Not Jew laws. And many do not feel bound to a government they considered run by Jews. Absolutely not.
Yep.
A New World Order or some other sinister entity. This anti-secularism, it's really not anti-secularism. It's just Jew-run. Jew-run secular world and Jew-run religious world. It's not really anti-secular. Has led to the reclusiveness among if there's any identians who are reclusive, it's because they know the Jews are out to get us whenever they can, right? With their ARA, remember the ARA in Binghamton? Remember?
Yeah,
they came marching down
Anti-Racist Association or Anti-Racist something, right?
Action. Anti-Racist action. Lunatics,
idiots.
Right. They were marching down the street because they found out we were having a meeting. And so then they accosted the bikers on the front porch who were having a press conference, and they mistook the bikers for us, right? And so they almost got.
I still remember, man.
That was so funny. So
while that's the first time I ever met you in Binghamton.
Right, right. And so we snuck out the back door while they were having a confrontation with the bikers. The bikers would have kicked their ass, man. They really would have.
You know, they were a bunch of little faggot, you know, right. Just probably 3/4 some Jewish little protesters. You know, you, me, and the other two might have probably taken out 15 of them.
Right. Oh, sure.
I was, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the cheap punk college kids, right?
Yeah.
Most of them punks. Jews. Most of them are Jews, too. So
I'm sure of it, yeah.
Right. And so we reconnoitered at the restaurant and we just had a really good dinner. Right?
So, brother, the value of that time was the continuation of me meeting you and our relationship to this day.
Oh, yeah. Amen. And I recall, too, that I forget, was it a... and that wasn't Elks Lodge, War Heroes group. I forget. It was one of the War Heroes group or veterans groups.
I think wasn't it going to be a VFW or something?
Something like that. And yeah, they were getting ready to throw us out anyway because they had.
Yeah,
gotten,
they called them up, threatened them. You're going to have a bunch of Nazi. Yeah, you're going to have ADL, a Hitler group there.
Right.
Bob. Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
The
yeah.
ADL had called the lodge. And told them that we're a bunch of racist skinheads, and there would be repercussions if they allowed us to have our meeting.
Probably even deny the Holocaust. You got a bunch of Holocaust deniers coming in. Yeah.
So we were filing out anyway. Okay, when the ARA came marching down the street, so that was just we arranged that. Right?
You know,
the timing.
That was my first foray out of Judeo-Christianity to hook up with Christian identity.
Okay,
and I got it, and I'm looking back in that, and I go, you know, it makes sense that there would be this kind of rebellion against the truth. Yes. I actually saw it, and I thought, I'm not put off by this. In fact, I thought to myself, if there wasn't some opposition to this, I would be surprised.
Yeah.
Yahweh was with me in that time.
It was really disappointing to hear that from the lodge, you know, because we were just reading. I was reading their plaque on the wall that talked about their American values and the U.S. Constitution and freedom of speech, right?
Brother,
I was reading that
memory,
plaque on the wall.
My memory is good. And they were... They were a veterans association,
right?
And you were a Vietnam veteran.
I'm a Vietnam veteran.
You had your Vietnam veteran hat on,
right?
And they at least they weren't violent toward us, but they were disrespectful.
They were,
but you know, we just took it. You know, we what are you going to do?
Shows how afraid they are. Okay,
in the coming age,
we
will rule with the rod of iron. And if anybody gives us shit like that in the next age, we will swat them with the rod of iron.
I was standing there reading that plaque, and a guy comes up and says, we can't allow you to have a meeting here. We just got notified by the ADL that you guys are a bunch of racists and violent skinheads and stuff, right? I pointed at the plaque, but I guess he forgot it was there. I don't know.
Well, let me say this, Eli. This is the point of the last few shows we are doing. Our enemy is attempting to define what it is we believe. So they get on the phone and they say, oh, you have this group that wants to rent your hall. Well, here's what they believe. They hate Jews. They deny the Holocaust.
All right.
They're Nazis. Blah, you know, they hate Negroes. I mean, our enemy wants to define our situation.
Yeah.
This is the foundation of their control of the media.
Yeah.
They want to control what our people think about everything, including our own beliefs.
Right. Yeah.
They don't want us to have a clear voice. That's why we got kicked off of RBN. That's why honestly, I'm not a pastor of a church of I don't know how many people up here in New York. Where I can actually say, you know, whites only.
Yeah.
If you want to be a member of this church, I need you to prove to me.
Right.
I want to see your genetics going back, you know, two to three generations. Prove to me that you're white. I don't want a Negro to walk in this church. No Mexicans are allowed. We're not trying to save anybody but our people.
Right.
This is why I do not control and pastor a church of 200 or 300 or 20. I don't know. Give me a number. This is why I'm not allowed to actually do what it is that I was born to do. Our enemy has controlled the flow of information.
Yes, and the churches.
To where they define to the masses what we believe. Thank Yahweh that we actually have this show and Eurofolk Radio where we can speak the truth. I don't know if there's 10 people listening, 50, 80. I have no idea. But it doesn't matter because the elect are hearing the truth in these final days. And yes. I give thanks to Yahweh for that.
So our reclusiveness is due exactly to the fact that the ADL will attack us wherever we go publicly.
We're forced into reclusiveness.
That's right.
But yeah, we're not meant to be like the early Christians. Joel Osteen's preaching to 20,000 people.
Yeah. The early Christians had to be reclusive because Nero was trying to kill them, right? I mean, and the ADL would kill us. If they had, if it wouldn't be breaking the law.
The words of Yahshua Christ himself. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Amen.
How interesting that he used the numbers two or three.
Mm-hmm.
Why not 10,000 or 20,000 like the giant mega preacher churches have? He chose the numbers two or three.
Yeah. I'm surprised they don't take credit for it. Yeah, right. Yeah, but the veterans of foreign wars—they're even more reclusive than we are. I mean, their minds are reclusive. That's how they so easily buckled under to a phone call. I was just so disappointed in them. You know, they could have still let us have our meeting
from that brief meeting. Mm-hmm. You and I, to this day, are still doing shows together.
Yes.
Right. That was the point of that meeting in Syracuse.
Right. Yes.
I look back, and I give thanks to Yahweh that it took place. Because had that not taken place, you and I would never be even friends, or I would never have come to Chicago and hung out with you and, you know, gotten to know you.
Yeah. And believe me, I don't go to New York very often.
I know. And
Illinois
next time you're
enough.
Up this way... You are invited to hang out and stay with me, and I still have a little wine cellar that I'll raid when you come up.
Okay.
FYI.
Right.
Yeah. I remember you like Pinot Noir, by the way.
Right. I like wine. I'm a wino.
I know, brother. Yeah. I wasn't going to get into it.
All right. Well, it's good reminiscing the good old days. How long ago? That was 2008, 2009. I forget when that was. So
too long
ago. Yeah. 8 years ago, something like that. So anyway, it's fun remembering that, and the when we drove away, and they were actually following us too. The ARA guy.
I remember that. Yeah. They did. Mm-hmm. I remember.
And then
so Jewish. The satanic
right.
seed line. We awakened them. We poked the snake. The serpent
right,
was awakened
right.
when we met.
But it was raining so hard as we were driving away that they gave up. Although one of those cars followed, I think for 15 miles they followed us until we pulled over, and then dared them to pull up, and then they just drove off. So anyway, that's what you're dealing with when you're dealing with Jews, folks. Okay, all right. Well, we run out of time. Run out of time, brother. So fun show, and we'll start with the Apocalypse of Baruch next Friday, okay?
I like it. We'll touch base this week and discuss where to jump in.
Very good. All right. All right, folks, thanks for listening. This has been Yahweh's Covenant People. See you next time. Praise Yahweh.
Yahweh bless, brethren. Amen.